Bye.
Hey. So my name is Lorraine.
And my name is Keisha.
And you are here with Blessed with the Slice of Mess. We're here to show you how blessed we are inside of our lives, but then also there's always that little kick that messes everything up. So do you want to tell them how Blessed with the Slice of Mess was created?
Yeah, so like my sister said, I'm Keisha and she's a Rainy, and we came up with Blessed with a Slice of Mess because we were sitting there talking one day, and we have frequent conversations just about all different, you know, topics, all different things. And we thought that it would be fun to just share our point of view on different things that's going on in the world, that's going on in our lives. And I think that is really cool because we are, distance-wise, we're far, you know, we're two and a half hours away from each other. Age-wise, there's a big gap. My our parents had us when they were younger and a little bit older with Rainy. And then
yes.
Just in the way, like our religious beliefs and the things that we believe, that's different. And just a lot of things, like we agree on a lot of things, we disagree on a lot of things. And we just wanted to share from two sisters' perspectives, how you can grow up in the same home, you can grow up, you know, being alike, doing a lot of things alike, but then you still have different perspectives, and being able to share that in a way where we're still being respectful to each other.
Oh, definitely. I feel like when it comes to relationships, how we treat relationships, makeup, video games, children, you know, there's a lot of things that we think differently of, because, you know, with anybody, you find your commons and you also find what you're not so like connected with. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to being with your sister, it's like an unfiltered way of talking to them, you know?
Yeah.
There's no like, oh, I'm afraid if I tell her this, our friendship is going to stop. Like, you got to deal with each other for the rest of your lives. There is no, I won't ever talk to her again. Or, well, for me, I feel like we would just stop talking altogether. We get mad at each other, but not to that point where I have to stop talking to her. It's like talking to your best friend, but at the same time, you like chain together. I don't know how to explain it. But
well, I think that's being part of why it's called Blessed with a Slice of Mess, because we're blessed to be able to have each other in that way. And I think that is so unique because of the age difference, you know, like I'm 37, you're 24.
Oh, girl, I'm about to be 25 so, next month. Okay, don't age me.
And we were talking about it earlier, like we're both millennials, and there's a different, like we have the basic foundation of like being respectful, you know, like certain basic foundation on certain things, and then other things there's like a huge difference in how we feel and what we're thinking. Like I said, not only do you get like a sister's point of view on different things, but to be both millennials and to have like, you know, like contrast to what other people are saying what millennials are, is very different, you know, in our views in that way also. So blessing for us to be able to connect in that way, and I think that's unique.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people that are millennials, they say like there's no respect, there's no this, there's no that, or it's on the other spectrum. Oh, they're too sensitive. Oh, they're this. Oh, they're that. You know, it's just there is no balance to that. But for us, I think that our family is very unique because it was like a boot camp kind of, like you need to learn respect. You ain't leaving this house without learning respect, you know, not just towards family, but just people in general. for me, in our childhood, I know for you guys went to like Belize to where you were able to form like an accent to be able to get that familiarity when it came to elders and the lifestyle. But for us, it was like a little vacation. But yeah. Throughout that little vacation, it taught me so much that a lot of my friends will never know. Like, we were able machine. There was no dryer. You are the washing machine. You are the dryer. You know, when it came to like the inside of our house in the U.S., you don't see no lizard in there unless you left your door open, or you know, see no, you don't see like a frog or a crab inside of your house unless you did something for that to come in. But for out there, it's just, okay, hi, Mr. Crab. I know you were under my couch. Okay. And you just do it out the way. Or, you know, when everybody sees you, I can never get this out of my head. When you come outside Guatemala, everybody says good morning, good evening, good night. They never, you know, just ignore you. It's, they exchange. So you look at each other, you say, good, you know, how are you doing? Hi, a total stranger. You don't know who this person is, but everybody either gives you a nod, acknowledgement. It's a sense of community. And I have never gotten that in the U.S. I see how some people are all like, I have to protect myself. I understand. But being able to be disrespectful doesn't really like allow that openness that people, not saying need, but like that people should have, you know, where you don't know who bad, but if just that little hi or just that little good morning, that smile can help them continue on whatever they're going, then you just, you know?
Yeah. And I think that's what we were privileged to be able to get that side. Because I remember when we were younger, and like you said, we went to go live in Belize. It's drummed in you, you know, respect. You got to wake up in the morning. You make sure you say good morning. You washing your clothes physically, like in lining and putting them on the clothesline and folding them up. And you are skipped. Not basically almost catching your fish. You got to go to the market, get your fish, scale, cut it out. Like you are putting in work, you know? And I remember being younger and like coming from the States and going into that, you are kind of upset. Like, no, they didn't. Where the McDonald's at? Where the Burger King at? Why I got to scale some fish when I could go to the store and get a fish fillet? You know, like why is that? Yeah, so it's very different. But as I got older, I have come to appreciate that, you know? It gives you a different of, like you said, like I said, appreciation with the things that you have and the things that you're able to do with, because then you were exposed to like a different type of lifestyle, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I you get to see literally both, where people would go on the internet and see that and just be like, oh, okay, there's no emotional connection to that. There's no seeing, feeling with your hands. It's like a sensory thing. It's, you have to be able to connect to that person. Some people can just be like, oh, have you been to Belize? They've only been to the tourist area. For me, now when I travel, I really want to go and see the like the local side, how people actually live, not like sandals or not like, oh, look, there's a slide. No, there ain't no regular slide inside the village. I want to see what people are doing, you know? I want to be able to experience what they're experiencing. I want to see what they see every single day, because it doesn't benefit me if I'm seeing... If I go to Spain and I'm inside of this touristy area, you know?
Yeah.
Definitely not being I can't say like immigrant because I don't feel like there's like immigrants, but not to be an outsider of the U.S. Is a lot different, but you get that value, that sense of family, that sense of being able to be accepted, that people don't get outside of homes. Because I have a lot of kids, I work with kids, and these kids sometimes come to me like I'm their mother. They come and hug me like, you know, they needed that warm hug. And some people might not understand, like, oh, okay, you know, this kid just came up to me and, you know, I just hugged him, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But you need to figure out why that child came to hug you, you know? You need to figure out why that child is so upset all the time, why that child is always yelling across the room of the classroom, you know? I like to be personal with my kids to where they feel like they're open, you know, they can open up to me. Yeah. And some of the kids are all like, Miss Rainey, I don't get to do this or I don't get to do that, you know. Kids that told me some stuff that almost made me cry, and not knowing that this 9 and 10 year old is going through, you know, so much. So I feel like when you're born, not a lot of people in the U.S. are like this, but like when you're born outside of the U.S., you get that sense of, okay, let me see how this person is. Let me figure out, you know, it's a sense of having that cousin or that mom or that dad, you know?
I think a lot of what you're saying is like cultural, but also you have the child development background to be able to align with that, because for me, I feel the same way. Like when a child is acting out, there is a reason behind that. And a lot of us can tend to get frustrated, tend to automatically judge that child when we don't know the background of what's going on, you know, with that child and their home life or whatever the case is. So working in the school, like I have been exposed to all different types of personalities. I used to say it's almost like, and I don't know, you know, I don't mean to like, but you're walking into an insane asylum, like different personalities. So and so is crying over there. So and so is laughing, kicking it with their friends. But someone, like, it's just so much going on that if you're not careful, you can, you know, drain you. And that's why, like, yes. I personally think like maybe teachers need, you know, and teachers, they do a good job, don't get it wrong, but if you have a little twist to it and bring child development into like the teacher and credential program, they have like a different, you know, like, because you work in a school, but there may be a little bit of lacking of child development, and if they bring that into the program, that would bring so much value to their kids, because child development and teaching is two different things. You know, child development is like the whole child. That's what we're focusing on, you know, facilitating their needs, their thoughts and everything that they're needing. When you're teaching like, you know, your math, your language, blah, blah, blah. Like you're teaching that subject. But when you're coming at it from a child development lens, then you're able to see the child as a whole human being, where you're able to see what works for them when they're learning. Are they better? Do they need to move around more? Do they like work better one-on-one? Like you're able to see the child from that perspective and a child when you have a child development cap on, you know?
Definitely, it's opened my eyes, because like I have been in the child development field since I was a teenager. Like I remember you bringing me into that volunteering space. Oh, you know, I've been babysitting kids since I was a preteen, and I was like, oh, this is easy. Now going into that child development, it's a whole nother ball game. So being there for almost, I can say, four or five years, and learning, you know, they trained me to understand emotionally, socially, development as a whole, not just like, oh, well, their grades are horrible, so this is the reason why they're acting up. You know, I see the nurturing part that development teachers use, and we also help with the kids later on in life for them to problems, you know. But me working as an assistant teacher, like, I see that it does need that. Like, it's a necessity. Some people think it's like, I don't know, like a kind of like, oh, well, they don't really need that. It's no, it's like bread and butter. They definitely need this. Yeah. If they wouldn't be looking at their best friend and then laughing and running away while their best friend is crying, mm-hmm. and not getting that empathy, not understanding, you know, not fully processing why this is happening, it can mess them up later on, and it could damage them as an adult. Like, right now, I deal with a lot of kids that are under the age of 10. And so we have an issue. I can say, like, we have an issue right now in our classroom of taking things. And as a teacher, I see the things that they literally have to do. They have to prep, you know, their lesson plans. They have to make sure that their meetings are going well. They have to do IEPs. They have to do, you know, continue to go to school, even though they are already in school. They already received their certificate, and they have to go for their credentials. They have to go for this and, like, you know, do above and beyond things. I see them as heroes, and, you know, but the old thing is that is because of the timing inside of school, because of, you know, what they think they need for the teachers and also for the students, like, these kids only get 10 minutes outside. Mm-hmm. 10 minutes outside ain't when it comes to somebody under the age of 10, okay? They can't. Their body is, like, so jittery. Like, it's like they're on coffee. Like, they drink a whole bunch of coffee and they're sitting there shaking. They're ready to go. And 10 minutes ain't nothing. And then them going to eat lunch, at that time, they're already ready to slow down. They don't really want to do no work, you know.
It's just the same thing, you know, as, like, us as adults. Like, the other day, me and you, we were trying to figure out a great time to have the podcast. And because I try to pay more attention to me as a person and what works best for me, I reflect a lot, that I have come to realize that certain times of the day, I'm on a high. I'm like, I could do everything you want me to do. I'm alert, 100%, whatever. I want to get all my stuff done at a certain time of the day. And then by another part of the day, I'm tired, I'm exhausted. So you're not going to get the best of Keisha at that time. And when we don't, people have to understand, like, when we don't know that about ourselves, you know, like, then you're like, you know, it can be a relationship, like, hindrance and barrier to your relationship with other people, because they have a different set of, like, how their body works. Now, bring it back to kids. Like, if as an adult, when I'm hungry, I'm pissed off, I got an attitude problem. When I'm sleepy, I'm pissed off, I've got an attitude problem. And as an adult, if I feel that way, imagine a child. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm not gonna upright tell you, oh, it's because I'm hungry. It's because I'm hungry. That's why I'm not finishing my homework. It's because I'm blah, blah, blah. That's why I'm not doing this. I had one little boy who would give us such a hard time at homework time. And this was by accident that I figured out how to get around it. He was like, Miss Keisha, can I please just have snack? I was like, okay, just, you know what? Just do what you need to do so that I can move on with my day, whatever.
Yeah.
He went and a snack. He came back and he finished his homework in like 15 minutes. And ever since then, I was like, you need to have a snack before you finish. Yeah. So we're all on different, like, wavelengths. We're all different people. We're all going to feel differently. We're all going to personalities are different, and the way we react to certain things sometimes is because there's like a deficiency. I'm hungry. Maybe I need to have snack before I get into this, or whatever the case. And if we don't give the kids the realization of that, give them an opportunity to even realize that about themselves, because we're ignorant and we don't know, then that causes like chaos in the classroom.
Yeah, it does. And it's just seeing what the teachers do have to go through. It's a lot. Like, we go through our PD meetings and everything, and I'm like, you guys have to do what? And you have to do what? And wait, hold on, what? Oh, okay. Girl, I don't know how you doing this all at once and going to school at night and then being able to go home to your husband and kids and doing this and that. I'm like, I'm kind of feeling like I'm going crazy too. So being able to have these...
There's a lot of backstory, obviously, because we're not going to get in political or anything. But I know, like, being a teacher, you probably got, like, state standards that you got to meet. So you have that. Then the school got to meet a certain standard. So you got that. Then the kids, you have that. So like you say, you got your lesson plans. You got all these things going on. And just managing it can be very challenging, especially if you don't have support. You know, in different areas.
Yes,
you know, and that's exactly why we're doing what we're or talking about it, because we want everyone to know, like, it's not. It's all no. Yeah, yeah. We all have our ups, our downs. You know, like, let's be real.
I feel like at this point that teachers are supposed to be these like
robots.
People that are superhuman, that understand, like, they honestly, people, I've heard so many times, people think teachers are literal babysitters for kids. And I was like, that's like a slap in the face. I've heard the same thing for child development. Like, just, you guys don't.
I was just.
Oh, yeah. I've heard. Yeah, for literal teachers saying this, like, you guys don't do anything. And I'm like, oh, okay, if you want to go up to Bob and talk to Bob while he's screaming in your face and he's so close to spitting in your face and you still got a smile, okay? And being able to problem solve with him, you don't know if his medication is working that day or not. You don't know, you know. And then you also, like you said, it's an insane asylum, so you got the other kids that are over there talking about somebody's shoes, so you know they crying about something personally, so you gotta go problem solve with that. It's like a day of constantly being a therapist just for kids. I've always heard from the kids telling me, like, Miss Rainey, you're the only teacher, like, I feel like I could go to you for everything, you know. And I feel like that's how they should be with their actual teachers.
Yeah.
But having 40 kids inside of a classroom, 30 kids inside of a classroom, we have small groups, and even just having those 10 kids and having them sit down and do that work is the hardest thing ever. Mm-hmm. You know, having them focus is the hardest thing ever, for them to do this in 15 minutes and, you know, write a couple sentences is like, oh my gosh. But I feel like child development will help them understand and help them process that, you know, emotion that they feel, but they don't understand it. They can't identify it themselves. And people just think, oh, well, they're just playing outside. Oh, well, they're just, you know, they're just doing homework with them kids, or this is what, you know, what they're doing. And I'm like, no. It's way more. And when I get that gratitude of when kids come up, I don't want to leave here. Like, they have to go to middle school or something, and they're like, I don't want to leave here. And then they come back to the center and say, well, can I volunteer?
Yeah.
You made an impact in that person or that child's life so much that they literally don't want to leave. They, you know. Yeah. It is. And I feel like if I didn't have CDC or if I didn't have any child development situation, like any child development processing what I'm going through, I wouldn't even be, probably wouldn't be with kids. I'd probably be miserable. I'd probably still kind of lost. I'm lost in general when it comes to life, but I know for sure that I want to work with kids and I want to be there, you know?
Yeah. Okay. So that's definitely a topic that we should hit on is child development, you know? That's a good one. The views that we have is coming from a child development perspective. And like you said, like a teacher, because I know I went to school to become a teacher. So when I got my degree in liberal studies, I was supposed to continue to go get the credentials. And I stopped right there because I realized that I didn't want to just teach in like a school setting. I wanted to like more with the whole child. So my degree is in like liberal studies with a concentration in human and child development. So my mm-hmm. background is like how we develop as human beings, you know, like that's very important to me. That's something, like you said, like we're already lost in life. Like half the time I'm like, dang, am I really supposed to be doing this? Blah, blah, blah. But I know for sure that I'm supposed to be working with kids at a capacity, you know, at least I know that. And let me, where I know that, where I know where I stand with that, then navigate my way through what exactly that looks like for me, you know?
Yeah. So like, it's for people out there that are looking for whatever, like a career, a job, I just say, test it out. If you're testing it out with a job, you're testing it out with a class. If you have that, what if, like, am I good at this? Like, literally go out there and test it out. If you feel like you're really good at photography, test it out. See if you can do this. Yeah. Or, I'm a good photographer, but I can't do it just by myself. Go to a studio and be an assistant until you can do your own photography and working for that person, you know? Or if you want to be a writer, start a blog. See if you can do it that way. Or be able to go to a newspaper or a website that you're able to be a journalist. Go to school to be a journalist, you know? Yeah. For me, I've always thought like, oh, okay, I knew what I wanted to be when that time comes. Like, I'm about to be 25 and I still don't know what I'm supposed to do. Like, I don't know what exactly I want to do. I want to do a various amount of things, but it feels like in such a little bit of time I have to like focus on one thing. You know, you hear all these people like, oh, I'm from a child, I wanted to be a vet, and I learned to be a veterinarian. Now I live with monkeys. Like, I don't know how people, it's like, it's been born into them, but there's other people that are really confused. Yeah. You know, I think that's where our blessed with a slice of mess comes into, and where my differences is, like, I am natural. I am in an interracial relationship. For some people think it's controversy. Other people's like, okay, you're in a relationship. And other people, you know, when it comes to being plus size, because I'm a plus size girl, I'm very much into body positivity and to being able to express your inner and outer beauty 100%. You know, I don't deal with a lot of people sitting there saying like, I want to be skinny. I've had companies that I've been in and they're literally forcing, oh, you need to be this size, you need to look this way. And for me, my mind literally wants to push against that and say, you don't need to do that.
Yeah,
you know, is that hurting anybody? No, it's not. So why do you feel like you need to do that? If it's for a health situation, do what you have to do. If it's for something that is literally hurting somebody else, do what you have to do. If it's hurting yourself, do what you have to do to fix that. But if you want your hair to be pink and you ain't losing your job, then go ahead, do what you have to do. If you want to go get a piercing, make sure you can hide it if you're working with kids. You know, it's just...
And that's, yeah, like you said, I mean, on your end of the spectrum is, you know, the lifestyle that you're living. And for me, the same thing, the lifestyle that I'm living, you know, being a divorced mom with three kids, you know, I'm an entrepreneur. I'm a faith-based, like Christian-based entrepreneur. So walking through that part of life, especially after you kind of planned your life out, you know, but then, you know, life happens, like the reality of life happens, and then you kind of shift and change things. So even if you think, like I said, I knew from the beginning that I wanted to work with kids, and I'm still doing that, but in a different way. So just putting yourself out there, like, is never, you're never too old. You're never too, and they always have the story of like Kentucky Fried Chicken. The Colonel, it was like 60 or 70 when he started the first Kentucky Fried Chicken. So that's a good look at. Yeah, he was old when he started it, you know? So, so with that being said, like, you do what you, what is best for you, you know, where, you're not trying to please other people, because then you're going to end up in a space where, first of all, like we said, like, you're going to be lost in life. Like, it's going to come to a point, you're going to come at a crossroads, you know, period. But then to be doing something that someone else wants you to do, not what you want to do, you know what I'm saying? Like, and we're talking about, like, safe things, you know, like career change or whatever the case is, relationship, whatever. In that aspect, it's very hard to be in a healthy space if you're not in full surrenderance of who you are in a person, you know?
If you don't know who you are, just journey out and figure out who you are, as long as you have the means for it. If you don't, then you can find dupes for, you know, of what it is.
Step by step.
I can't, if I want to go find myself right now, I can't go to Italy and go do a musical and dance about it and sing my life. No, I can look at pictures of Italy, imagine myself in doing that, and then go outside to the park and think about what I need to do to fix my life. You know, it's not everybody can do whatever they want to do, but do it within your means, where you're not breaking your bank, where you're not homeless at the end of the day. You know, if that's what you want to do, you do you, boo.
You do you, boo. That's a good ending.
Oh yeah, we can have that as an,
you know, outcome. What I'm saying? Like, that's a good, I like that. You do you, boo.
I definitely wanna continue on, you know, our topic, but we're hitting our 30 minutes. So we got an outro this out on, for me, we're gonna do shameless plug. And I have an Instagram. It's a rainy, literally. So it's ITSARIENI. And that is my photography Instagram. If you like to see that, you know, go ahead, follow your girl if you want to. And my sister has.
Yes, I am actually a confidence coach for girls. That's what I do for a living. I host interactive programs and workshops around, like, the city and different stuff like that for girls in the schools. And I recently came out with a book called Blueprints of Self-Esteem, and called Middle Girl Edition, because I have a Young Girl Edition available also. But I'm super excited because they're super cute. And so it's called Blueprints of Self-Esteem. I have Young Girl and I have Middle Girl Edition, and they are both available on Amazon. And I took it a step further. I do have the Middle School Edition, along with, like, two bonus materials. One of them called A Girl's Guide to Becoming Beautifully Confident, and that's downloadable. And then I have, along with that, like, Becoming Beautiful, Becoming Confident, I'm sorry, Tips and Tricks. And it gives girls, like, affirmation ideas. It gives you recipes and stuff like that that you can go to. And that can be found at Beautiful, beautifullyconfident.org/journal. And on social media platforms, I can be found at Abundantly Authentic on both Facebook and Instagram.
Perfect. Go support a sister. Literally go spam on all her, what is it, to rate her her Amazon. Yes. And make sure that you can follow her on both of her Instagrams. You know, support, support, support. And if you got anything, definitely do you email us? I need to make an email account.
Yeah, that would be good. Yeah. Blessed with a slice of mess email. info@blessedwithaslicemess. Well, that ain't the email, but we'll make it up. We'll tell you guys next episode. Yeah.
We'll definitely tell you guys next episode because I didn't even think about that until now. Yeah. Damn. Well, all right. Thank you, sister. And you know, you boo.
Yeah, you do you, boo. Bye.
All right. Bye.